A woman sits alone in her comfortable home, surrounded by blessings, loving family, financial security, good health, yet she feels utterly miserable. Why? Because her mind has become a battlefield where fear, worry, and self-doubt wage relentless war against peace. This isn't just one person's story. It's the reality for millions who've discovered that the greatest battles in life aren't fought in external circumstances, but in the 6 inches between our ears. What if the key to transforming your entire life isn't changing your situation, but changing what happens in your mind? Every day, roughly 60,000 thoughts flow through your mind. Some uplift you, others tear you down, and many you barely notice at all. But here's what most people miss. Not every thought that enters your mind is actually yours. The spiritual reality behind our mental struggles reveals that our minds serve as the primary target for spiritual attack. Why? Because thoughts become beliefs, beliefs shape emotions, emotions drive actions, and actions determine destiny. This insight forms the foundation of a message that has liberated millions from mental prisons they didn't even know they were trapped in. Your mind is like a garden where not every seed was planted by you. Some came from past experiences, the critical teacher, the parent who compared you unfavorably, the betrayal that shattered trust. Others arrive daily through doom-filled news, social media highlight reels, and entertainment normalizing anxiety. Some are strategically planted by an enemy whose entire strategy centers on controlling your thoughts. Taking thoughts captive isn't about suppressing thoughts or forcing positivity. It's about becoming the gatekeeper of your mind. When thoughts like, "I'm worthless," or "God must be disappointed in me," arrive, you have authority to examine, question, and either accept or reject them. Most people never exercise this authority, assuming every thought is true simply because it appeared in their consciousness. Strongholds don't appear overnight. They're built thought by thought, like coral reefs forming from countless tiny deposits. Repeated criticism builds inadequacy. Rejection constructs fear. These mental structures then filter everything. You could receive 10 compliments and 1 criticism, yet the stronghold magnifies that single negative while dismissing all positives. Consider worry. It starts with legitimate concerns, but repeatedly rehearsing worst-case scenarios is practicing negative faith, meditating on fear rather than truth. This builds neural pathways, making anxious thinking automatic. What makes strongholds particularly insidious is their invisibility. Someone trapped in condemnation doesn't think, "I'm experiencing spiritual attack." They simply believe, "I'm a terrible person who constantly disappoints God." The stronghold masquerades as reality itself. If negative thoughts are weapons used against you, what's your defense? Not positive thinking or affirmations, but truth from outside yourself. When Jesus faced temptation, he didn't argue or analyze his feelings. He simply declared, "It is written," and quoted scripture. That's your template. God's word functions like spiritual ammunition that destroys lies. The power comes from believing it personally, speaking it deliberately, and applying it specifically. When worthlessness attacks, don't just read that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, speak it aloud. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God's works are wonderful, and I am one of his works." This might feel awkward initially. You're not speaking what you feel, you're speaking truth that will transform how you feel. It's like planting seeds. You don't see immediate results, but underground, something powerful is happening. Worry masquerades as responsibility, but is actually faith in reverse, believing more strongly in problems than God's promises. Every time an anxious thought surfaces, counter it immediately. "I'm tempted to worry, but I choose to trust you instead." Notice how much mental energy you spend rehearsing problems that haven't happened yet. One study found 85% of what people worry about never happens, and of the remaining 15%, most handle it better than anticipated. You're torturing yourself over fictional futures. How you see yourself affects everything. How you relate to others, receive love, handle criticism, and pursue purpose. many view themselves through distorting mirrors, past failures, others' opinions, or cruel comparisons. Perhaps you see yourself as damaged goods or fundamentally unlovable, interpreting every difficulty as confirmation of your unworthiness. These aren't harmless thoughts. They're identity strongholds that shape your entire life trajectory. Transformation begins with accepting God's view of you. He doesn't see you through your worst moments. He sees you through Christ's finished work, someone worth dying for, someone being transformed into His image, someone with unique purpose and infinite value. This isn't positive thinking. It's truth most people never truly believe about themselves. Start monitoring your self-talk. What do you say when you make mistakes? Would you speak that way to someone you love? Replace harsh self-criticism with truth-based self-compassion. Instead of, "I'm so stupid," say, "I made a mistake, but I'm learning." Instead of, "I'll never change," declare, "I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind." Negative thinking carves ruts in your mind like water through stone. Repetition makes negativity automatic until it becomes your default setting. Breaking these patterns requires both spiritual authority and practical discipline. Start by becoming aware. Most people never examine their thoughts. Throughout your day, pause and ask, "What am I thinking right now?" This creates space between you and your thoughts. Next, test your thoughts against truth. Does this align with what God says? Is it true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy? If not, reject it and replace it with specific scripture. Simply stopping negative thinking without filling your mind with something better invites those thoughts to return with reinforcements. One woman struggling with chronic negativity started writing three specific things she was grateful for each night, never repeating entries. This simple discipline gradually rewired her brain to notice the positive. After months of practice, her default thinking shifted from "what's wrong" to "what's good." Your feelings make terrible leaders. They shift with circumstances, sleep quality, and what you ate for lunch. Follow them, and you'll live inconsistently. Kind when convenient, faithful when motivated, persevering only when inspired. Feelings are indicators, not dictators. They signal what's happening inside, but shouldn't make your decisions. Faith means doing the right thing regardless of how you feel, choosing forgiveness when resentful, extending kindness when irritated, persevering when you want to quit. Jesus experienced the full range of human emotions: anger, grief, anxiety, disappointment, yet never sinned in response. Emotional maturity isn't about whether you feel strong emotions, but what you do with them. When anger surges, do you immediately react or pause and choose your response? Develop awareness of your emotional triggers, situations that consistently provoke strong reactions. One woman realized criticism triggered defensive anger. She developed a simple practice: pause, take 3 deep breaths, and pray silently before responding. This created space between stimulus and response, allowing faith to guide her reaction rather than raw emotion. Mind renewal is a daily discipline, like physical fitness. Start with scripture meditation, not just reading, but pondering. Ask, "What does this reveal about God? About me? How does this apply to my struggles?" Write key verses on cards, set phone reminders, or record yourself reading them. Prayer throughout the day keeps you connected to truth. When negative thinking strikes, immediately pray, "Lord, I'm struggling with worry. Help me see this through your eyes." This isn't complicated theology. It's honest conversation with God. Critically evaluate what you consume. Does social media leave you inspired or anxious? Are the people around you faith-filled or chronically negative? You become like what you behold. Monitor progress without becoming self-absorbed. Ask, "Am I more peaceful than 6 months ago? Do I recover more quickly from setbacks?" Celebrate small victories. Each time you choose truth over lies, you're strengthening spiritual muscle. Your mind is a battlefield, but it's a battle already won. Notice a negative thought. Question it. Replace it with truth. Speak it aloud. Repeat tomorrow.